Welcome to the latest edition of One More and Going Home and Going to Bed. Justin Barker here with Josh Jones. Recording this episode on Wednesday, March 27th. And you got the drinks?
Yeah, well, the plan was getting double deuces in honor of Double D, Darian DeVries, as we just discussed the actual pronunciation of his name. But you can't find double deuces anymore.
They're not available.
They're all 24 or 25 ounces. There's no 22 ounces. So, shrinkflation my ass.
we're a 22 plus 2.
Right? Yeah, there you go. That's right. There you go.
22 plus 2.
Yeah, that's right.
14 years ago today, you know what happened?
Let's see, 14 years ago, I was a much younger man.
Yeah.
I was 35.
We beat Kentucky to go to the final.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
And I honestly thought we would get back.
Yeah.
And we never did.
Never have.
Never did.
No. We probably could have the year we played Gonzaga and
the year we
played Villanova. Those were two chances.
And that team that got beat by Stephen F. Austin in the first round was
Pretty good too.
Was good. Yeah. I think it was Tariq Phillips last year. Maybe
and Juwan and Paige.
And Adrian maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe Adrian was the next year.
I think Adrian was next year. But yeah. It sucks we haven't been back. Maybe in the future. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll keep our fingers crossed.
That's right.
So we're fully engulfed in March Madness,
which
we had some game watches this last week.
We had some game watches and with our good old cousin Felicity.
We did.
Is it time for the segment Moments with Felicity?
Well, we can lead off with that.
Yeah, let's do it. I mean, I have a small one. I don't know if you have any from Friday.
But it's not going to be nearly as entertaining. It's just something that happened that would only probably happen to me and her, which is going to be my non-sports question.
Okay, so we'll save
that. So I'll get into that then, but if you want to bring up...
Well, the two things, she got there, we were at Buffalo Wild Wings, we'd go watch the game on Thursday, it was a good time. They actually, were able to turn the games...
Well, how they got rid of those two big...
Big ones, exactly. And you can watch all four games at the same time, which we actually had to tell them what number TV and what station.
We did.
You think at a sports bar you would have that primed and ready.
But that's been a recurring thing.
At least they did it. So we got to give. And the server was pretty good about coming around and keeping our drinks full. So it was much better than years past. I gotta say.
I agree.
But Felicity comes in and we're sitting there, and you had to go because your mom locked her keys in the car or lost her keys in the car or something along those lines.
Sort of.
So she was like,
"Hell, I completely forgot about that."
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And she said they're talking about how she picked Duquesne.
Yeah, Duquesne. That's right. I forgot about that. She picked Duquesne.
She picked Duquesne. She said, "She just said it. I knew it was wrong."
Yeah.
Well, the best part was when after everybody had come and gone, and Thomas came, that. Tom came, Larry Canterbury was there. I mean, the whole Hardy.
John Stanley
was there. I mean, it was the whole crew.
Trish and Dave.
Trish and Dave.
They didn't come.
But when everybody left, it was me, you, and Felicity.
Yes.
Who was there. And we paid our bills. And I paid with my credit card. I think you guys might have paid with checks or cash. I can't remember. But so I paid. And so we're sitting there. We're still talking. We're drinking. I think we ordered another round or something like that. It was on the tablet. So we're drinking. Next thing you know, Felicity's drawing us a picture of something. And I can't remember what the picture was. And then she tears it up. But what she tore up was the receipt that I needed to sign.
I don't remember what she was drawing.
I don't either. But I was like a baseball field.
She was really proud of it.
She was.
She was like, "Here it is." And she was like, "No, this sucks."
Yeah.
And then she just ripped it up.
It was my receipt. She used my receipt.
So we brought the girl back over.
So we have, that took us longer to leave. Yeah. You had to go negotiate. It was okay. Mm-hmm. We gave her a $10 bill for her tip.
Yeah, I was lobbying for us so we can get out of there. I'd completely forgotten about that. But yeah, that happened.
Yes. Our moments with Felicity.
But she did not make it to Elliott's.
She did not. That's right. She didn't go to Elliott's. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we went there. And I tell you what, I liked Buffalo Wild Wings for the first time, the last couple times we've gone. Went to Elliott's, and I liked Elliott's too, but I was trying to watch. I could barely even watch the Kentucky-Oakland game because I had so many conversations going on. And because I was standing, I didn't have a seat, so I was standing up in the middle of people. So that was like I didn't get to see that guy from Oakland go bananas against Kentucky. So
well, I got stuck sitting beside Smallwood, and he was trying to convince me to run for city council.
yes, please do.
I said, no, sure, sure.
I will be your campaign manager.
I said, Charlie, I said, my skin is not thick enough for politics.
I thought about running for city council once, and Jeff Ayler said, Josh, man, don't do it. He says, you get the stupidest phone calls.
Really?
If you want phone calls all day long, then feel free.
Yeah.
If you don't want the phone calls, then don't do it. Yeah. I said, all right.
But, yeah, that was a good time.
It was. It was Thursday. And then Friday, I went to Phil Legg's house and watched it with his boys. Preston was already there. And then the three boys came in from
WVU.
So we're sitting there. And Phil's got a – first of all, I got a spread of food. I had jambalaya, chili, nachos, and cheese. Man, it was
– How long did it take Phil to make all that?
He actually made the jambalaya.
No way.
And it,
he can't spell jambalaya.
He can't, but he can make it. Shit was good. And so we sit there, and I tell you what, it was spicy. So I felt it Saturday. Yes. But we're sitting there. So we got three big TVs going on, right? Because they got decent-sized TVs. And Phil got these two roller things like you would see at a medical facility and put TVs on.
He probably stole those from Plateau.
Exactly.
Or if he signed those out. So hope they don't do inventory next week.
So we got three big TVs, and next thing I look up, and here comes Preston and Cole carrying a bigger TV, and they put it on the ground so they can play Madden football. It was like sensory overload.
Yes, that's a lot.
It was nice sitting back on the couch.
How long did you stay there?
I stayed there for the evening games. I left at 7.
What time did you get there?
I got there at noon. Dropped 12:30. Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah, so I stayed there through the duration there.
I stayed at Geno's.
Yeah, I heard the M-ball saw you out there.
They did.
Said you were feeling no pain.
I was feeling pretty good. Yep.
Yep.
I was doing all right.
Yeah, how big a crowd you guys have out there?
It was about the same. Well, Artie didn't show up, but it was me and Tom and Larry. John Stanley showed up. Mm-hmm. Trish and Dave both showed up.
Nice.
Thomas came. And then, of course, Tony and Teresa came. I'm trying to think who else was there. There really was, I mean, John Sumner, the people usually are there. I mean, there really wasn't a whole lot of people there, but which was kind of nice because you could hear the game, you know what I mean? And they got good TVs in there.
They do, exactly.
The only problem is the one really good TV they got doesn't work right now.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So then, of course, Tom, he's up there pushing buttons and changing shit.
Oh, man, you probably made it worse.
Oh, God.
I'll guarantee you made it worse.
Yeah, dude, but, yeah, so then, of course, then Saturday we had the get-together, sending Aaron off.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the Aaron going-away party. It's funny, he gets to Maryland, next thing you know, bridge collapses.
How about that? The first coincidence there.
I was wondering. Son of a bitch, I texted him to make sure he was okay, but he didn't ever text me back, so.
I guess he's all right.
I guess he's okay. I don't even know.
I didn't even connect those dots.
I was like, son of a bitch, he moved on Sunday, bridge collapses on Tuesday.
Tuesday, yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
But it was nice being at Three Gables. I didn't hang out. I mean, I know Dad and them used to go out there all the time when they were younger, and that used to be the place to go.
It was the place.
And I mean, I just remember it used to be like special occasions. We'd go out there and eat.
Right, exactly.
You know, and then of course Larry had they had the dance floor and all that stuff. So apparently the one of the Novicki girls is possibly looking at maybe opening on the weekends.
Right. I heard that too. Yeah.
Okay.
I heard that too.
Which would be great, man.
Yeah. Oh man, absolutely.
I mean, I still love walking up there and ringing the buzzer.
I know. To get in, it is.
I'll never forget when I worked at Garfield's. We had a regional meeting here from like 15 stores on the East Coast, 20 stores, whatever it was, and I was in charge of putting the food together. So I said, "We'll go to Three Gables and eat." So of course, you got all these people from Maryland, Pennsylvania. Yeah. We go down this hill on the hilltop Hank Williams Jr. Boulevard. We pull in, we walk down this carpet, and I have to hit this buzzer, and this bald guy answers the door. They're like, "Are you sure we're in the right place?" I said, "Oh, hell yeah, we're in the right place."
And they got a steak and potato. I guarantee you they enjoyed it, because that shit was good.
Oh, man.
That shit back in the day was good.
Oh, so good.
Yeah.
So good. I do hope they have back of it. Mm. They had a good turnout. It was a good scene.
Man, it was packed in there. Yeah. It was all kinds of, and from all generations. It was crazy.
Yeah. There was a bunch of kids.
That's right. Well, and I know Evelyn. I know all the other kids loved that dance floor too.
Oh, I bet.
And the lit up dance floor is just a blast.
So. But you know, it's just funny because I still look at us being in a different tier, but now we're not in that tier anymore.
No.
We're just not in that tier.
No, no, we're the older people now. We're, we are. Yeah, we are now the older.
We really are.
We're not the elderly generation, but we're the older generation of the family gatherings now.
We are.
Yes, we are.
And that's a hard pill to swallow.
Yes, it is.
But I'm reminded of it every time I can't see and I have to pull my reading glasses off of my neck so that I can decipher.
Yeah, we were passing your glasses around there.
We were. That's right. So like a joint at B-Dubs. Like, hey, man, let me borrow your glasses. Here, let me hit that real quick.
I do got a nice picture of you there.
Yeah, you jerk. That was Felicity, that asshole. Let's see here. Is there anything else? I was going to jump into women's stuff. Okay. No. Women's team got a host.
First of all, let's give them congratulations for the season they had.
Had a hell of a season.
And beating Princeton, because Princeton was a good team.
Trailed most of that game.
Yeah, they were underseeded. Washington should have been a 6 or 7 seed. They should not have been an eight seed. And Princeton probably should have been a higher seed, too, because they're a good team. But yeah, the Sunday Monday night game, we played them Monday night at 8:00, which drew 4.9.
I heard it was million. Like one of the most watched.
It's the most watched non-Final Four women's game in history.
Is it really?
It is the third highest rated women's game ever.
No kidding.
So even though it was probably mostly because of Caitlin Clark, but that's a lot of eyes on West Virginia right there. That's a lot of eyes on. West Virginia.
And they didn't disappoint.
They didn't disappoint, and the national, even the national media said it. One person said, that's a great job, ESPN. Put all the get everybody's eyes on you just to have the referees fuck up that bad.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole referee thing was just terrible. Apparently, there was one guy who was from Fairmont. The guy who was the worst ref.
Was from Fairmont?
Was from Fairmont. First of all, he should never been on the crew because it's a conflict of interest. Because, so they were talking about the three guys for the game. Either, if he'd had a whole bunch of bad calls, and when Iowa, they would have said he's from Fairmont. You know, you can't. That's not fair. And or because the other way feels
trying
pressure.
Trying to be impartial.
Exactly. And it reminds me of the quote from Huggins. Remember, there's a ref in college basketball who's from. It went WVU, and he was reffing one of the WVU games. I think it was like a scrimmage game or something like that. And Huggins said, "Hey man, you don't have to be calling fouls against us just because you're from West Virginia." He's like, I would never do that. Hey, he said, well, I was just trying to give you a benefit of the doubt because otherwise you suck. And that's what it reminded me of. Yeah. But I think Tony Creed had it best on three guys before the game. That I think the moment just got too big for them, and it was at Iowa. And, I mean, there was a guy who made the clips of some of the calls. Some of the calls against us.
Like terrible.
It was 52-52, and that one girl had a breakaway. And Our person went away from her. And she jumped into her, and they called a foul on us. I mean, it was just man. And then the very next play, we went down, and we shot a shot underneath the basket. The same thing happened, and they didn't call any foul on them. And they were talking about how Brad Howell talking about how you know the people in his town. He's from Iowa. We're like, you know, well, WVU took it to me all these threes and stuff. You don't get fouls. We actually took more shots at the basket than Iowa did. We didn't get as many foul calls. And they shot a higher percentage of threes than they normally shoot.
And Clark was the only one who made one.
Exactly. They got 30 free throws to our five.
Five.
30 free throws to our five. They scored all but two of their points in the fourth quarter from the free throw line. They were 1 of 10 from the field. But they scored like 14 points from the free throw line.
Yeah, they weren't going to let her lose that game.
They weren't going to let her lose that game. I don't believe it's a conspiracy. I really don't. I just think the moment got too big. I agree with the figure. It was just, there was so much pressure. For everything on those refs, they cannot handle that situation.
Let me ask you this question. Do you think there was more pressure because we were playing Iowa at Iowa with Caitlin Clark, or do you think it also had something to do with the fact that B. Arthur was their head coach? I thought she died.
She might have been reincarnated.
B. Arthur from the Golden Girls is Iowa's head coach. It's B. I was like, holy shit. I was like, thank you for being a friend. Look at this bitch. What is she doing? Where's Sophia? Where's Blanche? Where's Rose?
They were there. Jesus. You saw those haircuts on that bitch.
I said, holy shit, it's B. Arthur.
You know what I don't understand is how those girls can play with those fake eyelashes. How do you even be able to see? with those things and sweat and all that stuff and still be able to play with some.
Well, I work with them. I mean, it's not as hard as it. You get used to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you should have. You get used to it. Exactly. You get used to it.
But they did have a hell of a year, man.
They did. I mean, it's going to be. And you know, Quinterly's coming back next year. So, I mean, the team could be good next year, too.
We're going to be able to hold on to her.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. She said, look for things at the press conference afterwards. At the she was like, look for things, big things for us next year.
Okay,
so.
Good.
So, yeah, man. This should be good. Good. This should be really good.
Good. So, I guess we'll transition. Let me mention this real quick.
Yeah.
I said we were going off the house cleaning stuff, and I forgot about this. Because I have been a staunch critic of the Tudors in Oak Hill.
Yes, it's been a theme.
It's been well documented.
Uh-huh.
But in the Tudors and Oak Hill's defense, the one in Fayetteville is equally as bad.
The one in Fayetteville is bad because you can't get into it.
It's terrible from a logistical standpoint.
Out of it.
But the problem was, like, I went to Tudors and Oak Hill last week, Friday, maybe? No, I don't know. Anyway, whatever day it was. It was lunchtime.
Uh-huh.
It was lunchtime.
Uh-huh.
And I pulled in, and there was two cars here. There was a car placing their order, then there was another car, and then there was me. And I sat there, and I sat there, and I sat there. I couldn't
go anywhere. Yeah, you're
so
you're
then
the
finally
line.
I said, it's been 12 minutes.
Uh-huh.
As soon as this guy pulls up, I'm leaving. And he pulled up, and I darted out of there. Came home and made bologna sandwich or whatever they all had to eat. So I ended up in Fayetteville a couple days ago. And I'm sitting there, and there was only two or three cars in line. But when you once you make that turn, you ain't going nowhere.
Nope, you're in that line.
There is no point in trying to go anywhere because
nope,
you can't.
You can't. Especially your truck. You won't get that truck around there.
No.
No.
So I sat there and sat there and sat there and sat there and sat there. 18 minutes. There was three cars in front of me. And I finally pull up, and the lady in front of me, I knew I was in trouble. Because as soon as I pulled in, the lady was in front of me. There was a guy behind me, and there was nowhere I could go. And the lady in front of me had started to order, and I knew she was saying a whole lot of stuff, and I was like, this is not going to end well for me. And then I could hear the lady over the loudspeaker say, okay, your total will be $47.52.
Holy cow!
And I was like, I might as well go ahead and order breakfast, too, while I'm here. Because I'm going to literally eat dinner and breakfast in this fucking drive-thru right now.
You probably did, too.
So I finally pulled up, and I was at the point where I was just so exasperated. She was like, how are you doing today, sir? I was like,
ask me something else.
I said, ask me something else. I said, anything else. Politics, religion,
yeah.
Don't ask me how
it's
I'm doing
hard,
right
exactly.
Now. But anyway, I wanted to mention that.
Did you get your food?
Eventually.
An hour later.
Yes.
There you
go. It was
well. I think the theme of this is probably you need to go to Tudors a little bit less.
I don't need to go to Tudors at all.
You go to Burger King.
I'd be better off driving to Princeton and going to Tudors and coming back, and I'd probably be full and have my food quicker. I don't even know if there's a Tudors in Princeton. I'd still get it quicker.
I know the Tudors in Beckley isn't better either.
Okay, well, good. Well, at least it's a
yeah, exactly.
It's across the board.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe that's part of their corporate model in 2024. Like, let's see how many people we can piss off. Jesus.
Their food's good there.
Their food is great.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
All right, so the big news. Darren DeVries is our new coach.
Yes. Good hire.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, they got a home run hire, yeah.
Home run hire. He's won 20 games each of the last 6 years.
Yep.
That's right.
Yep.
And the other thing, too, is that's big is he's bringing his son.
Yes.
Who's an NBA prospect.
He's an NBA prospect. They said right now, of the 1,000 people that are in the portal right as of today, he was number 3 prospect in that portal. Yeah. So, yeah, that's a big get.
And DeVries doesn't look huge, but apparently his son's
6'7". 6'7", 6'8".
Yeah.
Two guard.
He's a two.
Two or a wing, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he was Rookie of the Year in the...
He's been Player of the Year in Mountain West, or NBC, 2 years in a row.
And in 2 years, he was Player of the Year. So, He's been Rookie of the Year, Player of the Year, Player of the Year.
Yeah.
And that's a guy transferring to a team. And, from what I'm saying, we have a chance with their point guard, too, who averaged 14 points.
Ayton and Oberdon.
Yes.
They're both supposedly coming,
yeah.
too.
So, well, I heard that Ayton, I think it's Ayton, he got, as soon as he hit the portal, though, he got offered by USC... Mississippi State, Arizona, so...
But he ain't committed anywhere.
I mean, he's still... There's still a possibility. But that there's a lot of offers for him. Everybody knows that DeVries is coming to West Virginia.
Yeah.
The rest of them, there's people pushing for him. So.
Yeah. But I think even just bringing in Tucker.
It's a good start.
And it's just a good building block. Exactly. I mean, obviously there's going to be a whole lot of pieces we got to fill in because Seth Wilson entered the portal, which we're not surprised.
Oh, man. Phil Lake said, he said, I refuse to watch any more games that Seth Wilson's in. He said, if he transfers to a Big 12 team and we play that, I'm not watching that game.
He's that upset, Seth Wilson?
He refuses to watch any game with Seth Wilson.
Wow.
Yeah.
I thought I was hardcore. Way to hold a grudge, Phil.
I said that pandemic made me physically ill, and it's not as bad as that.
But I haven't seen anybody else yet.
I haven't seen anybody yet either. And
which is kind of odd.
Exactly.
You know, because we're 4 days into the
hire. 4 days in the portal, and you think.
Of course, I guess his press conference is tomorrow.
Yeah, and I'm sure he'll meet with some of the players then, and we'll see. The way he plays, I don't see Selinski staying. Carissa might stay. Because they're both efficient on offense and defense. Carissa might stay.
Kobe might. I wouldn't mind seeing DeVace stay.
I wouldn't mind. I think we forgot about him last time.
We did. Yeah. But if he put some weight on.
I think he's going to be a good player.
Yeah.
It's going to take a little time. Like you said, he's got to get bigger and he's going to get a little better defensively. But he's just got a natural ball skills, which is hard to teach.
And the guy from Egypt, we didn't mention him either.
Yeah, the big guy.
I don't see.
Yeah, him. I think he's just a body. He was just a practice body.
And then you got JoJo Harris.
I wouldn't mind JoJo because at least he tries.
He does.
At least he tries.
And he can shoot sometimes.
And he
can,
sometimes.
And he's got really good hair.
That's your favorite part about it.
Oh, yeah.
I like anybody with hair, so.
I know you do.
I can't throw stones.
No, you can't. You cannot. So, I did see, is there anything else you want to hit on that?
On DeVries in general, or just the... Well, I just think we should talk about how, you know... One, you know, it was coming down between him, Medvedev, and Byington. That's who we did our face-to-face interviews with.
And Byington ended up at Vanderbilt.
But he ended up there.
I kind of got the impression DeVries was our main guy.
That's the impression I got, too. I think he was our main guy.
I don't think Dusty May was ever on the radar.
I think
he was on the radar, but I don't think he was.
He was a guy you had to talk to. Like you had to talk to him because he was an up-and-comer, and people think he's going to be a good coach.
And you know what I thought was cool is he actually, well, I mean, I don't know if he'll. Cool, whatever, it was neat. He, in his introductory press conference at Michigan, mentioned watching Beilein's West Virginia teams with Gansey and Pitsnoggle and, you know, kind of neat to hear. But I think
people are going to like, I think he's going to fit in well at West Virginia. I think people are going to like him.
He's from Iowa.
I mean, he spent 17 years at Creighton with
McDermott.
With McDermott and Altman, who was there before him.
Dana Altman, he's at Oregon
exactly,
now, right?
Exactly, yeah. He had opportunities to leave at other places and didn't. He's a guy finds the right places that fit for him and his family. And his daughter, apparently, is a good basketball player, too. She's going to be a freshman in high school, so look out for her. But it's a good hire. I think so, too. Yeah.
I did see late last night and early this morning, apparently, Bob Huggins was pushing hard for that Louisville job.
Yeah, he had a radio interview, and apparently he said that he'd think he'd be a perfect fit.
Yeah.
Which is funny, because earlier that day there was rumor that they might look at Richard Pitino, which would be hilarious.
It would be. Now, he's not in Minnesota anymore, is he?
No, he's at New Mexico? He was in the tournament.
He was at Minnesota for a while.
Yeah, I think he was at New Mexico. Yeah. But I think that's hilarious that was even a consideration.
As long as they keep Nancy Zimfer away from
him. and then Huggins, but I heard at the end of the day today, where I saw on Twitter that I don't know if they made overtures or looking at the guy from Colored to Charleston.
They are Kersey. Kersey.
Yeah, so
I think that's.
Yeah, but I told you. About my mother. I said, Huggins not done coaching.
Mm-mm.
He wants to coach somewhere.
I think he wants to get to 1,000.
Oh, yeah. He's, there's no
Where
doubt.
Where's he, 920?
Mind. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
There's no doubt in my mind.
But hell, Josh, he's almost 70, isn't he?
Oh, God, yeah. He's got to be over
70. I think he's 69 now. I think he's getting ready to turn 70.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah.
So you figure even at 920, I mean, you figure on a good year you're going to win 20 games. That's four more years.
Exactly.
And that's not counting rebuilding.
Right.
So, I mean, are you wanting to pledge to a guy that's going to – I mean, he's in a tough – I know it did not –
He's got two DUIs and got him out of schools. He's had some radio comments that aren't going to set well with some places. So, I mean, he's just –
He needs to just fade,
walk away.
Fade off.
Yeah. I don't think it's in his nature.
No.
That is not in his nature.
No.
So, he's going to coach somewhere next year. I just don't know where and who's going to take him.
It's going to be a smaller school.
Mm-hmm.
That'll have to be.
That's going to have to be.
Because there's no major jobs left now if,
exactly.
if Louisville hires
Charles Charleston
guy.
Yeah. Well, he can go there. Who
yeah.
knows? Drake.
He can go to Drake. So spring football practice started Monday.
Yes. Yeah, I saw some comments today from Brown.
Yeah, I read through a little bit. And I may have glossed over this, and maybe this happened in the fall or in the winter, and I missed it. I didn't realize Zaki Lawton had medically retired.
I didn't either. I didn't know that.
The kid from South Charleston that initially signed with Cincinnati.
Yeah.
He's done.
Oh, really? Yep. I didn't know that. Yeah, I didn't know that.
He's done.
Yeah.
And there's, I think, four. I know Redwood. Donaldson's going to be limited. Redwood's out for the spring. And there were two or three other guys that were out. You don't know anything 3 days in.
No.
You know what I mean?
No, the main things I got in this, he was talking about off-field conditioning. And he said Hudson Clements is one of the best. He's best condition he's seen coming out of a summer practice or a fall, winter conditioning, whatever they call it. But they said Hudson Clement is just like
his little brother's coming too, right?
Yeah. They said he is in shape. They said that Bray kid,
mm-hmm.
his work ethic's really good, and Aubie Brooks said he is like lightning fast. So that'll be good. And the things I saw today was all about the wide receiving core.
Mm-hmm.
They said Ray looked good.
About
Gallagher's going to be more involved, not just gimmick plays. Plays.
That was the other thing. Lathan and Trotter are back practicing.
Yes. Yeah, so that's good. I mean, I heard, those transfers we got from Northwestern on defense, that our defense now is the deepest we've been. And did you see where Burks today is going to play? He's going to split his time between center, free safety, and Spear.
Mm-mm.
He's going to play Spear a lot on early downs. So that's interesting.
And then we got that Reed Carrico from Ohio State.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. As a middle linebacker.
And they said the way they're modifying the defense, it's going to be a perfect fit for him.
Yeah, and it's going to be a 3-4. There'll be two middle linebackers.
So he'll play Mike, and then I don't know who will be the other Mike.
I don't know.
Lathan?
Yeah.
Well, Lathan would probably be more off the edge, wouldn't he?
I don't know.
Trotter maybe in the middle.
Trotter
Trotter's
maybe in the
bigger,
middle.
I think.
Yeah,
I don't know. We'll see.
Exactly.
But anyway, there's depth.
There's depth, and I thought the defense again was going to be a weak point coming in next year, but I don't know. I don't know. We'll see. It could be a good year. I'm just saying it could be a really good year. Because I think we're also still getting a little bit of chip of our shoulder because they're picking us fifth or something like that in the Big 12. These are already things I've seen.
That's probably
I think fair. That's fair. I think that's fair.
I mean, that's fair.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, you got – because we're at 14 teams now, right? 16.
16. Okay.
16 teams.
Yeah.
So 5 out of 16.
It's not bad.
It's not bad.
No, exactly.
Considering we have not been
right.
on the upper echelon of this league
in a
while.
Time. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, but I think still gives them a little bit of chip when, like, they're still underestimating us. So.
Well, they obviously used that 14 last year.
Exactly, all year long. I mean, they used it all year long. So that gives them something else to use this year.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
Yep.
We like being an underdog.
We play
we,
that
we
role.
We are way better
we
than
play that
being
role
the favorite.
So much better.
Exactly.
So much better. That's all I got other than my bracket, which sucks.
My bracket is average, but I got all my Elite 8
all my Final left. Four teams are still alive.
Yeah, and I got all my Elite 8 teams alive, which is good.
But I didn't make hay with some of the chances I took.
Yeah, me neither. I don't think anybody did. The biggest upset, the high seed in the Sweet 16 is North Carolina State at 11. The next one's 6, which is like Clemson or something like that. So it's not like there wasn't a lot of upsets. I mean, there was a couple in the first round, and then after that, like
yeah,
all the anxiety went very chalk this year.
Yeah, it did.
So,
good point.
This is the first time, I forget how many years they said, that all the 1 and 2 seats made it to the Sweet 16. So, I mean, it's all chalk right now.
Yeah, because I couldn't tell you last time that happened.
Yeah, me neither.
To be honest with you.
Yeah. Right now, I need Creighton to win.
See, I need Tennessee to win.
I need Creighton, and I need Arizona.
I got them
in my final four.
I got Arizona.
UConn and Houston. Even though I'm sweating Houston now.
Yeah, they had a nail biter there.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, but I had Houston and UConn and Tennessee and Arizona was my four.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. The good thing about it is I'm already $50 on the board.
I know, I ain't won shit.
Hit 2 in the Sweet 16 and won the first round.
I ain't won a damn thing.
I put in $40, up 50. And I was plus $4.30 this weekend on my bets. Big money, baby! I can't. I can buy me 2 Fireball tickets.
You know what's funny? I rolled over Sunday morning, pulled my phone out, grabbed my glasses. Because I pulled up my FanDuel account and I was like, I don't know what, that's either really good or really bad because it's blurry. I pulled out my glasses and I was like, oh good, there's a 1 in front of that number. Okay. So there are 3 numbers to the left of the decimal point. I feel a little bit better. I feel less bad about myself. Oh, shit.
Oh, man. I did really poorly the first 2 rounds. And I made it up on the weekend. Probably because I was a little bit sober.
That makes a big difference. Because usually about 8 or 9 o'clock and you see like, well, there's 4 games left. When I'm starting looking through it, I'm like, well, I blew that one. We'll make some hay with this right here. I can definitely make that up.
Yeah.
These next 3 games are going to totally catch me up. Yeah, it doesn't work out.
That don't work out.
No, hell no.
Not hardly ever.
No. No. What's the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again?
Expecting different results.
Yeah. You know, guarantee you on Saturday about 6 o'clock, I'll be in here pounding beers. They'll cover 18 and a half. That's all I got. All
right, take a break.
Yep.
Welcome back to One More, and I'm going home, going to bed. If we can do 4 questions with 2 hours on that green cloud, I just put
yeah, in thanks, thanks for that.
At least I didn't do it on air this time.
At least I don't have to trim my nose hairs tonight because they all just fell out. You jackass.
You ready for 4 questions, 2 assholes?
Yep.
Let it fly, buddy.
All right. So this is kind of going to piggyback a little bit off of what we talked about in the first segment, but talking about DeVries.
Mm-hmm.
So on a scale of 1 to 10, how excited are you about this hire?
On a scale of 1 to 10.
I'm going to write my number down right
here. I'm going to say an 8.
That's exactly what I wrote down.
Yeah. I think it's really, you know, you think with our facilities, our fan, you know, we average like 10,000 people this year in the Coliseum or something like that. You know, it was like ridiculous how, considering how poor we were this year.
We won 9 games.
Yeah. And we got a fan base. We got one of the best practice facilities now in the country. And that's honestly thanks to Huggins. And then, you know, and we had money to pay the coach. I mean, he's making $15 million over 5 years.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, that's average in the Big 12, which is a pretty good chunk of money. I thought maybe we could draw maybe some people on a Power 5 team might be interested in moving to us. But we didn't. But I think we still got the best that fits us and fits the culture of West Virginia of the people that were out there.
That's kind of how I feel.
I think, you know, Rin Baker firmly believes that in coaching. I mean, he's done a great job of hiring coaches. People forget, he was at Stephen F. Austin, I think. I can't remember where he was. And he hired the coach now at Texas Tech. He hired him there at the
North Texas.
He hired him there, and then he went to go to coach Texas Tech, which then the first year took him, you know, as they were 6th seed in the NCAA tournament. So, and he hired Mark Kellogg. And like, you know, he didn't hire the Pitzel White, the girl before him. He came in, she left, and he hired Kellogg, who did a great job this year at WVU the first year. And he's got just a good track record of hiring basketball coaches because he loves basketball. He'll tell you he loves basketball. So, and they said, I was listening to 3 guys for the game, and they said that, well, maybe it was Country Roads Confidential. He had like a book of analytics on all of the coaches. Like, he had all these, like, Gordon Gee was like, it was like, my eyes went over. It was so much analytics. So he took it seriously, and I think he got what he wants in a guy that fits the culture of West Virginia. It's going to be, It's going to be defense first, but he also runs good offense. They're statistically always in the top, 30 to 40 of offensive defense on average, he's balanced both sides. And let's face it, in order to win this year in these day and age, you can't be one or the other. You got to be able to do both. You got to be able to play defense, and you got to be able to score. I mean, you just got to. You got to be able to shoot from the three-pointers and make layups, because that's the whole game right now. There's no mid-range. It's threes or at the basket. And that's what his offenses do, and his defense is to keep those from happening. And that's what more can you want?
Yeah.
So I'm about an eight.
That's where I am.
Yeah.
I think eight. I mean, you can't anoint him yet and coach the game yet. But
exactly.
But there's optimism.
There's optimism. Exactly. And we'll see how. And he's done a good job of recruiting and also developing players. We'll see how it is now with transfers and stuff like that and NIL, because he's going to have resources he didn't have before.
So I would be curious. That was going to be I'd be curious to see what he thought when he got on campus finally.
Yeah.
And saw the facilities.
Facilities, exactly. The whole
coming from a school like Drake.
Right.
And seeing, because, you wouldn't think, an outsider, obviously we and the 19 people that listen to this show are highly invested in W Sports.
Right.
And we revere it, and we recognize the fact that we've got some very good facilities.
Uh-huh.
But outside the bubble, not a lot of people know that.
Yeah, exactly.
They don't realize if you come up here and look at just the practice facility, they said it's top five in the country.
Right, exactly.
In the country.
In the country. They said recruits are wild by it. If we can get them on campus, the recruits are wild by it.
And that's the key.
Yeah, exactly. Got to get them.
Because you can't, it's just, we're hard to get to.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
We are very much hard to get to.
We're hard to get to.
Yeah.
And with NIL and everything else going on, there's just so many other extraneous factors working against you. But I'll be curious to see when his presser tomorrow what his impression is of
Yeah, the
of
facilities, exactly. Well, apparently he wowed Ren Baker and the other administrator about his knowledge already of WU Sports. Not just like, the big name of Jerry West, all that, but like he either studied it or was already well aware of like the history and like how the things in which he has done in basketball. So, he's already bought into the culture. So let's just hope that it's like Neil Brown when we hired Neil Brown. Mm-hmm. And he checked all the boxes.
Yep.
Let's just see what he does.
Yep.
And the first thing is, you got to win.
You got to win.
It's as simple as that. That's what got Neil Brown does everything right. His first 5 years, he didn't win enough. He's got to win. It's as simple as that. We don't like coaches that don't win.
Yeah, 9 wins last year means nothing if we win 6 this year.
Exactly. That's exactly right. Speaking of that, so DeVries has won 20 games in all 6 years he was at Drake. So basically, his because before that he was assistant coach. So every year that he's coached as a head coach, he's won 20 games. Will he win 20 games next year?
No.
You don't think so?
No.
I think he will.
I don't. Only because I think there's still too many uncertainties with this roster.
I don't
think it necessarily is going to be. And I think you got to quantify it too. We're losing Oklahoma and Texas and bringing in Arizona. We're the best basketball league in the country.
Exactly. But you also have 16 teams, so you can play most of those teams just once.
You can.
And you got some duds in there, too.
Utah, Arizona State will be – those should be winnable games. And even Colorado's pretty good this year. But you still – you got Houston. Cincinnati had our number. BYU had our number this year. Iowa State, TJ, what's a gazoon type, is great.
he is a coach.
Kansas is Kansas. Mm. I think that's a little bit too lofty for year one. If we could get above 500 the first year, I think I'd be okay. I'd be fine with that.
I think so. I'm not expecting him to win 20. I'm not. I'm just looking at recent history and way the NCAA is constructed now, where you can be successful in 1 year. Unlike the past,
now,
where you had to grow your team.
Let me say this. I think it was, and I actually had this conversation with one of the guys at work today. Actually, it was one of my sales bosses came down, because he's the first person that I've talked to or read or whatever, interacted with, that wasn't okay with the hire. He was like almost disappointed. He was like, he's Neil Brown 2.0. And I was like, well, what do you mean? And he's like, well, he just kind of doesn't. I said, well, who did you think we were going to get?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, who are we bringing in?
Byington or right. Medved.
I mean, who are we bringing in?
Exactly. And that's
we're going to bring Coach K out of retirement?
Right.
I mean, what are you?
Jay Wright out of the booth?
What are you expecting right here?
That's right.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So I didn't get that.
I don't either.
I didn't get that at all. But, no, I think a big key is him bringing his son. If he can bring those other two kids with him, they've got familiarity.
Right.
That's a good nucleus.
Exactly.
But you're going to have a whole lot of gaps to fill. It's going to take time. Our non-conference schedule is a little bit rough next year. That Atlantis tournament we're in, Gonzaga, Arizona.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of good teams in there.
Yeah.
So we're going to have our growing pains. I mean, he's going to be a first-year coach at the Power 5 level, and I'm going to be able to be patient with that.
Exactly. Like I said, I'm not expecting 20 wins. I'm just looking at other teams like Texas Tech, first year coach. They had a down year. I think that was it last year they were down? Maybe not. But they got a first year. Yeah, last year they were down. They had a first year coach, won 20 games, went to the tournament. Oklahoma State was dead in the water a couple years ago, won 20. Iowa State didn't win a game. And in 2 years, they won 20.
But that was the same coach.
That was the same coach, yeah. So I think there's a chance in basketball, way more than football or any other sport,
to win now.
To win now,
I agree.
But it all depends on. I think he can. My question was, does he? I don't know.
I don't think.
Yeah,
so.
I think he can, but it's a wait and see to see what this roster looks like come fall.
Yeah, I think if it's June and we have a pretty good idea of what our roster is going to be. But again, you got to also figure, just like this year, I mean, we were all excited. I was too. Battle, Edwards, Slezinski. Man, we got all these guys coming in. They've never played together.
Right.
And it showed.
Well, exactly. And
now, granted.
You didn't have a proven coaching staff.
You did not have a proven coaching staff. And I think a lot of those guys were wanting to be the players' buddies. Right. And not necessarily. And even Eilert to an extent. Probably.
Oh, Eilert was Phil Egg drives. He said at the end of the third technical in the last game, he said, you know, the guy, I can't remember who it was, he was, and Eilert's like hugging him and patting him back, telling him, you know, he's like, no. Because the first technical was bullshit on Kobe Johnson. The other two technicals were well deserved. So, I mean,
the technical Eilert got against, was it Cincinnati? Not in the tournament.
Yeah.
But it was a regular season.
I think
game.
It was Cincinnati.
Anyway, I just remember thinking, that's 12 games too late.
Exactly. Exactly.
We needed that 12 games
exactly.
ago.
That's exactly.
Now, I'm not saying we would have been 500.
Right.
But we needed that fire.
Right, exactly.
We needed,
and he was learning. It was his first time as head coach.
It was on the job training.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, so,
but I think there's a possibility, but I'm not going to – if you had to put money on, I would say no. He's not going to. But I do think
– I think we
and did. I think you start off with a good piece with Tucker DeVries. I mean, that's a good piece to start off with right off the bat.
Oh, no doubt.
I mean, you can't beat that. Yeah.
No doubt. But, no, I think if we can win 16, 17 games – and again, like I said, the schedule and the roster are going to be the two things that dictate that. Because I think he's going to be a good coach and he's going to be able to do his thing. But the schedule is what it is.
Yeah.
And our non-conference schedule is tough enough. And then you get into league play, which again is amazing that we played in the toughest league in the country this year. We won 9 games and half of them were in the league.
And two of the teams
were Kansas and Texas.
That's the amazing part. That's the amazing part. And we beat Kansas and Texas this year.
And went 5-8 non-conference.
Yeah. Oh, Lordy. We didn't win 2 games in a row.
Yeah. Never did.
All right. So today, you ready for non-sports?
Yep.
So today, we had to move machines out. They've been in our shop for a while. We went and swapped them out with 2 machines over at Kurt's. And earlier Monday, we had to take 2 machines to Beer and E, which is this tiny little room. To try to put 5 machines in. And those machines are not light. They are heavy. And so we bring this guy in, Jason, and helps us move machines. It's his only job is to come here and help us move. He gets the brunt work.
So he had one job.
He's got one job, yep. Is to move stuff. Because I'm too old, and Wade's older than I am.
Yes.
So we bring brute strength together. But I help as much as I can with my bad knees and everything. But I was sitting there thinking today, I was like, what's the heaviest thing that you've ever moved? that you can remember moving.
Oh, I know exactly what it is. It's that fucking piano. And Glenn Jean.
I wasn't even there.
Oh, no question. There's no question about it. At the church across from Aunt Nelsie's house in Glen Jean, which I still have yet to figure out why we had to do that.
Where'd it go?
It went into Aunt Nelsie's house. And it's still there. And no one else playing it. There is no one playing that fucking piano. And it weighs 6,000 pounds. Josh, it's the heaviest fucking thing ever.
Oh, I believe it. Because mine was piano too. But it was the piano at Nunu's. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't there when they moved it out of Beaver Coal into my house. I don't know if you were with them, but it wasn't me. Mm-hmm. But I had to move it out of my house. And you know what I decided to do? Break it apart.
Oh, believe me. There was moments when we were dragging that monstrosity across the fucking church aisle that I thought about taking an axe and just cutting that son of a bitch.
That's exactly what happened.
And I thought, you know what? I looked at Freddie because Freddie Ferry was there. I said, Freddie, if we light a match, ain't nobody going to know.
That's right.
Monty Price was there. It was me, Freddie, Monty Price. Luke was there. Was Garrett there? One of my kids was there. Jaina wasn't doing any heavy lifting. It was me, Luke, Freddie, Monty Price. Is that Nappy's brother? Monty?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
It was Monty. Yep. He's one, he can fix everything.
Yeah, and he's a good musician, too.
He's a great musician.
Yeah, and can tune the piano. He played tune the piano if they moved it. Well, guarantee it.
He probably did, and he probably knew how heavy that motherfucker was, too.
Oh, guarantee he knew.
He had straps. Thank God he did. I mean, he had straps and all kinds of shit. And I thought, and because Debbie and Jenny and them were there commentating like fucking Waldorf and Statler from the Muppets up in the balcony.
Didn't pitch in at all.
We're like, we'll see how this works out. I'm over here fucking blood vessels popping and shit. I'm like, do you guys really need this piano? I mean, do we really need to do this?
I wish, and I never found out how Dad and them got that piano up my Nunu steps. Because now the house is only 3 steps because we had to dig out the front. We built up the front yard a little bit. Before it was 5. How they got that piano up those steps and into her house, I have no idea.
And that came from where?
It came from Beaver Cole's office in Beckham.
I didn't have anything to do with that transaction.
No, it was funny. I think I was out of town, and man, I was happy to be out of town.
You planned that well.
Yeah, I pulled a Dave Taylor.
You did.
Like, that's my stuff, but I ain't there to move it.
I ain't gonna do it. You guys let me know how it turns out.
When I decided to get rid of that thing, I was like, yep, taking this bad boy apart. That's the only way I'm getting it out of this house.
Dude, I'm sitting here thinking, I was like, are there people inside this piano? Because this fucking thing is heavy. Luke and I were on the bottom. Put us on the bottom, coming down the steps. Freddie's like, I ain't getting on the bottom. Randolph might have been there.
He probably was.
And we were like,
one, two, three,
lift. And I was like, Luke, I'm lifting. Are you lifting? He's like, yeah. I was like, that motherfucker ain't going anywhere. He's like, I know. He's like, but your face is turning red. I was like, I know, I can't breathe. Are we there yet? Are we in on Nelsie's house yet? It was heavy. It was a heavy piano.
That's what it sounds like.
It was a very heavy piano. Very heavy piano. You know, that would definitely be the. That would definitely be the.
Amen.
All right, is that me?
Yep.
So I went to Gino's with Felicity Friday. She ordered. You know what's funny? Is we were talking about, I didn't realize this when we left B-Dubs, because she ordered a shitload of food to go.
Like
a bunch of food.
Yeah.
So I got there, I don't know, was it 12,
12? Well, what's funny is she ordered something, but they gave her exactly what she had ordered before. Right. So they gave her what she had ordered, even though that's not what she had ordered from late. Only Felicity.
So we're in there, so we ate, and of course I've been in there since noon. And I thought that I left about 8:30 or 9, but apparently I left a little bit earlier than that. So, in any event, we were settling up, And I guess she and I settled our tabs at the same time. Of course, Tom bought a bunch of, as he always does.
Yeah, he always does.
He usually picks up everybody's stuff. But I had eaten and had two beers, maybe. Felicity had whatever she had. She had like a whole bag full of shit. So anyway, so I guess we paid at the same time. And I had the girl my credit card and Felicity and hers. So she comes back to the table and she hands me a receipt. And Felicity gets a receipt.
Yeah, you can't see to begin with, much less at that point in time.
No. Glasses or no glasses, I was scribbling my name. So I'm like, oh yeah, you did a great job, Flo. I just signed that shit and handed it back to her. So, and left, not even thinking anything. So the next day, Felicity calls me. And she was like, hey. And I was like, hey. She said, Did you notice any charges on your card from Gino's? I said, Felicity. I said, it was all I could do to get up and brush my teeth this morning. I said, I have not checked my fucking bank statement today. I said, that was not at the top of my list. I wanted to make sure I was alive and my vehicle was in the driveway. I said, after that, everything else was gravy.
Yeah.
She's like, well, I had two charges for $30-some, and I'm not really sure why. She's like, I don't know if maybe they thought that I paid and I didn't pay and they added something, this and this. And I said, well, I said, I'll tell you what, as soon as I gather myself, I will view my statement.
As soon as I find out where my glasses are.
So I got on there and looked. And evidently what had happened was,
What happened was?
They handed both of us our receipts. And I guess I handed her my card and Felicity handed her card. Well, I guess when old girl went behind the counter, she rang Felicity's up with Felicity's card. And then rang mine up with Felicity's card. And then brought me the slip. And Felicity was like, did you notice on the bottom if you... I was like, Felicity, do you ever look to see if your name is below the dotted line?
No, I don't. Never.
I'm like, yep, that's me.
You couldn't see it anyway.
Hell no. I couldn't see it with four pairs of those glasses. So we went to the family reunion. I gave her $40, or not the family reunion, Aaron's thing. Yeah. I gave her $40. So have you ever walked out on a tab, or had a tab issue?
I have not, to my knowledge, walked out on a tab. I know you have walked out without your card before.
I have,
which led to a whole other story the next
day.
But I remember one time, and I can't remember where I was. It was in Morgantown. Back when, you know, I did not have a lot of money. I had a lot of money at the beginning of the semester because I got the good check. I did not have a lot of money at the
end
of the semester.
By then it was all gone, yeah.
So I remember going out one night, and I forget where I was. It was somewhere in Morgantown. And I used my card, and it was like $30, something like that. And I might have had $100 in my account at that point in time. So I spent like $30. And this was pre-tip. So it was like $30, so I'll probably put like a $10 tip on it or something like that. You know, they don't charge your tip. So like a few days later, I looked at my bank account. No, I'm going to go buy something the next day, and it said overdraft. You had insufficient funds. So I went to check my account. Instead of having $70, I had $10. They charged that same card three times.
Really?
I think it was Sports Page. It was
no
Sports
shit.
Page.
No shit.
So they charged that, which meant in a few days, $30 more
coming
out of the bank.
Yeah.
So I was in pure panic mode.
So I went
to the Sports Page. I was like, you guys three charged me. They finally did figure it out. They were like, it's going to take 3 or 4 days for it to go back into your account. And I was like,
I don't have 3 days.
I don't have 3 days.
No, I don't have that time. Y'all need to rectify this shit.
So I remember, I had to call my dad. My dad had to wire me money so I could not overdraft on a night out of the Sports Page. Because they'll take your money in a heartbeat.
Oh, absolutely.
But it takes 3 or 4 days to get your money back.
Yeah, but if it's going the other way, it takes
forever, man. But I remember just pure panic mode. Like, I don't have any money. I need a cash infusion. You made some drugs to sell?
Yeah. I'm your Huckleberry.
I was out there giving plasma for $35. Like, you weren't allowed to give it back-to-back days. Bill Pigeon will tell you.
He would know.
Oh, he was there regularly. I think they knew his name when he came in. I was like, hey, Bill, give him plasma today.
They got pictures of his plasma in their office in the break room.
Plasma giver of the month.
Billy Pennington. The plasma king.
I don't know if we went there for the $35 of the cookies they gave you afterwards. But
yeah, anyway, might have been a little bit of both.
A little bit of both. A little bit of both.
That's all I got.
That's all I got, dude. All right, man. Well, it's springtime now.
Springtime, so
yeah. You going to the spring game?
I'd like to.
I'm thinking about it.
I think the kids are going to go. So
what day is that?
27th, 20th, I don't know.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to go too.
Okay.
All right, one more and I'm going home, going to bed.
One more and I'm going home, going to bed.